Hey, why you look so mashed up, like clothes at the washer?
No, but just a hard day, wait.
Hard day? What happened? The breakfast lady ran out of tuna and gritsy.
You need to start joking about everything, you know. This serious, boy. This real serious, boy.
Wait, what's serious? Tell me.
All right, well, today, boss gave his boy one big contract. And nobody else get a chance and nobody say nothing.
Boy, you know that ain't right. You know government contracts ain't supposed to go that way.
Yeah, but nobody's saying nothing. Boss man just tell people to sign the papers. Then he sent me to meet his boy downtown and collect this envelope.
You need to tell somebody. You need to become a whistleblower.
You know I's a real man, but I never blow no whistle. I be drunk all my life in Junkano.
No way. A whistleblower is someone who tells people what they see when they see something wrong happening at work.
But I ain't no whistleblower, and I ain't no snitch. I still wait there, you know.
But ain't nobody gonna know it's you. All you gotta do is call Crime Stoppers, or you could text them from inside the Crack Crime Bahamas app. They don't ask about you. And your call goes straight through to Miami, so nobody know who you is. And if you text, your message get mixed up like Kong Salad.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
I can pay my bills, I can feed my kids. When the parlay hit, I can be so lit. I can cuss my boss and I can take one trip. But if it lose, your boy damn is cheap. But if it lose, how I can eat?
Good morning this morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Friday the 14th of November 2025 and you are on the clock with Erin Green. That was Tonash, When the Parlay Hit, Dear Parents. This is a song, let your children hear, because this is a new two-piece of six and four. I ain't got to wait no more. See, every day on the way to work, I just play my own parlay. I don't ever win. I play my own parlay. Like, okay, I bet myself $100. I gonna get from home to town to work without encountering one driver running a stop sign or a red light. Or I in the right, and then after that I say, okay, and I sure I could get this one. When I pass in doctor's hospital, I'm not gonna observe or be affected by anybody flying down Collins Avenue to beat the traffic, to blow through the stop sign to get onto Shirley Street. Yeah. It's all, I don't ever win. Anyway, today's show is brought to you by that roadblock at Meaden Street and Blue Hill Road yesterday afternoon, right on the Meaden Street side, where all the people are turning left on red, even though the law says you can't turn left on red. And imagine the collective psychological impact when hundreds and hundreds of drivers turn left on red knowing it's against the law, observe police officers on the scene, and they are not given a warning. They're not even flagged down to ask them if they know that that's against the law. Nothing. Imagine the collective psychological impact when continuously people observe police officers observing them breaking the law and doing nothing. And how does that impact your kids? How does that impact your kids with they in the car with you watching you breaking the law and watching the police ignoring you breaking the law? Because everybody just trying to mind their own business even though they're on the job and they're supposed to be doing the government business. Or and they're on the road and they're supposed to be following the government laws. Anyway, I just want another daily reminder. Surely we're not going to let the people who don't need more than 5 BJCs to police tell us that policing the roads is unnecessary. That's not what we're doing, right? This is not to diminish police officers, but let's make a point. Who endorsed or heard the former officer in charge of road traffic say that they were caught off guard and they don't intend on enforcing the law anyway. Who heard that? I heard it. I can't get it out of my mind because memory is a weapon. It haunts me. Anyway, we've got lots to talk about today. We'll be picking the energy up. It's all time again. All time again. I've been here all morning trying to find a song with limited time to research about wrecking in the Bahamas. And as soon as I get an opportunity, I'm going to ask my producer to play Spongy Money. Because Spongy Money is, I think, the only song I could recall that may reference wrecking. Like, wrecking money never done me say wrecking money. I'm sure though. But I asked my producer to play it so we could have a listen. Because there is nothing new under the Bahamian sun. Wrecking is who we were. And I think it's who we still are. But we refuse to acknowledge it. It's one of those ghosts in the room that we could feel near us, but we are not allowed to acknowledge out loud, right? So we got lots to talk about in the news today. Barge runs aground. There's definitely a story. Government purchases 7 desalination plants across the Family Islands. Royal Beach Club will be a win-win, DPM says. There's only 2 wins there. I see Royal, and I see the government. Minister for Tourism, it got to be a win-win-win. Like when you say it, I mind when Royal Beach Club say it. See, because when Royal Beach Club says it, then win-win, it means for Royal Beach Club and the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, including all of us. But when you say it, Minister of Tourism, we're not quite sure who that second win is. I'd like you to say win, 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 so the Bahamian people could guarantee they're in there somewhere. Think about it like that. Royal Beach, the government, and the people of the Bahamas. Win, win, win. Everybody deserves to win. Because when the parlay hit, everybody wants to feel happy. Also, I saw in today's paper somebody talking about my MP again. And I wanted to talk a bit about that as well. So I guess, I mean, we could call it an open line. I'm always interested in what other people want to talk about or think is important or is happening in the country. As we get the show started, I got a message for you, man. The deal you've been waiting for is here. For 2 days only, this Thursday and Friday, today, Friday, BTC is turning up the heat. Sign up for the $64.99 post-paid plan at BTC Mall or Southwest Plaza and score the all-new iPhone 16 256 gigs for just $599. That's $100 off the regular price. But you got to move fast. When Friday's gone, this deal's gone too. So what are you waiting for? Run to BTC Mall or Southwest Plaza and grab your new iPhone 16 today. That is an exciting offer. I see I got a caller already. Let's see what this caller wants to talk about. Good morning, caller.
Hey, morning, Ms. Green. How you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How you do?
Right, I'm on the since it's an open show today, right?
Mm-hmm.
6 weeks before Christmas. Have you started the donation for the kids yet for their Christmas gifts?
I have not.
Are you still doing it, or are we canceling it?
Well, to say cancel it means that we had already pulled it together and confirmed we are doing it. I have not confirmed that I would be able to pull it off. I'm still looking for some partners to assist me in that project, but I think it's a great idea. Again, let me tell you why, because normally people say, oh, man, you got to focus on the real important needs of the kids at this time. Kids need to feel like they are normal. Right? And they're part of society, and they're doing things what everybody doing. And so if we can organize a gift drive for young people, I really hope we could get it done, because it's important for young people who may be in the lower class, working class, living in poverty, to also have these experiences.
And also on a great debate, right? Which one is still king of the table during Christmas, ham or turkey? Because no one ever was able to solve that problem.
Okay. I think it's ham. It'd have to be ham, right? Because ham, after the dinner, you could turn the ham into soup. Now, I know you're into turkey, into soup too, but is it the same? Is it the same in your heart? The turkey soup, is it the same as the ham soup? I don't know. I don't think it is. So I can say ham.
Okay, the great debate continues.
Yeah, well, it does because I didn't get my permits for my turkey farm in Andrus.
Okay.
There you go. Thank you very much. The numbers to call, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. 242-300-5720 for Family Island listeners. If you're in Abaco, the Keys, the Northwest Territory, give them a call. What y'all heard on the ground about this boat, about the barge that ran aground near Abaco in the Abaco Keys? The first word I heard was that there were rumors that the crew's on the boat and the crew asked people to assist them in moving cargo safely to dry land. But as the day unfolded, there were conflicting rumors, because nothing substantiated, floating around social media. One of the points I want to make is this. Is this a clear example of an inability to move at the pace of your own policies? Right? See, because here's my thing. We have this beautiful relationship with the United States of America. This partnership even, right? And you know who has the type of technology that could identify small boats and vessels in the water from extreme magnitudes of distance? The United States of America. Because I think that's how they use their little kinetic weapon. High energy machine. Anyway, how is it that it took so long for the government to issue a public statement about the matter, to clarify what was happening? How long did it take them? Did it take the first authority to get there? How long did it take them to mobilize resources to identify clearly what was happening and to stop it if it were illegal or against the wishes of the crew of the ship? So we can read from this today and start. Christmas come early. Looters raid boatloads of goods from container barge stranded on North Abaco Reef. In scenes of modern-day piracy, scores of looters in small boats swarmed a stranded container barge yesterday, hauling away goods in such volume that some joked, quote, Christmas come early for Abaco, close quotes, while others phoned around asking if anyone had a boat to spare. The grounded barge, the Brooklyn Bridge, quickly became the center of brazen daylight raids, sparking wild scenes as people climbed containers and tossed supplies down to boats waiting below. Videos captured residents shouting, laughing, and transporting away everything from toilet paper and dog food to appliances. One resident described it as a, quote, free-for-all, close quotes. The barge was reportedly being towed by the Southern Dawn from Jacksonville, Florida, to San Juan, Puerto Rico, when its steel line snapped in bad weather, drifting the vessel onto a reef near Nunjack Key in North Abaco on Wednesday. Residents learned of the incident early yesterday and headed out before authorities arrived. Defense Force and police officers were later deployed to secure the scene until a replacement tug could return, Stephen Wilson, Island Administrator for North Abaco, told the Tribune. Go to page 2. A second tug is expected to arrive today. Mr. Wilson condemned the looting but said police are unlikely to pursue those who took supplies. Quote, it might be illegal, but at the same time, they're lightening the weight on the boat, close quotes, he said. He estimated more than 20 boats converged on the barge, saying many people assumed the goods were abandoned. He stressed the cargo had not been left to residents and should not have been taken. Quote, what we will try to do in the morning is try to prevent persons from being around the craft so that when the other boat comes, they won't be in the way in the event that the line fully pops or breaks away and cause anyone to get hurt, he said. The Ministry of Transport said it is in direct contact with the barge owners and that an assessment team has already examined the vessel. Officials said, quote, at this time, no environmental impact is anticipated, adding that a full environmental assessment will follow once the vessel is removed. Okay, so we're going to stick a pin there. As I'm reading this, I realize I have a couple of stories I want to read in tandem with this, maybe to make a point, maybe not to make a point. Let's get into this article here. Let's start at the end. Quote, at this time, no environmental impact is anticipated, close quote. So the barge running aground is not an environmental impact? That's not an environmental impact. There's nothing here indicating that you have made a quick assessment that there's no containers filled with liquids, noxious or toxic, have been breached, are at risk of collapse because of the collision with the rock. Like, you haven't actually said anything. Plus, the thing already run aground. That's an environmental impact right there. That concerns me. So we go back to the beginning of the article, right? It says, drifting the vessel onto a reef near Nunjak Key, North Abaco, on Wednesday. Now, it doesn't say when on Wednesday. It would be great to know exactly when on Wednesday. But it wasn't until later Thursday in the day, and the images I saw were sent to me just like sort of after midday, 2 o'clock. What is the response time? Are we unable to deploy our assets at a pace that necessary for that concerns me greatly, given the archipelagic nature of our country and the multitude of issues that we have to face. And here's another point, right? Is it that maritime custom is that in an incident like this, the owners of the boat would like deploy their insurance mechanisms and write off all the cargo on the boat? So we're not actually concerned about an economic loss from the looters? Because given the response of the government, I mean, do the boat owners expect the Bahamas to be able to remove those goods safely so as to preserve their economic value? Or in this instance, is this just a write-off? Is this just a write-off and the company itself is not concerned about a loss from people removing goods from a boat that's already been written off insurance-wise? They already can get paid for everything on the boat. Is it that big of a deal if the company already get paid for what is potentially lost, right? And here's the second thing. Are we taking it seriously enough? Like, given the Trump administration's current action in the Caribbean basin and the apparent attitude towards the sovereignty of CARICOM states, is this not something that we should have responded to like immediately? At the very least, to show that the Trump administration and our global North partners that we're serious? And it's an interesting article. If you want to talk about it, we can continue to talk about it. Another article I was looking at productivity. A number of articles this week, the new productivity task force that's intended or expected to result in a productivity council. And I had a couple of stories here I wanted to read, but yes, I found it. Before we get to those, to follow up on the barge, this article was in yesterday's Tribune. Restraint will be tested 13th of November 2025. I got a couple of texts just now. Here's a text. After that, it may be illegal, quote, but, close quote, statement, I hope Puerto Rico sues the RBPF for the full cost of their goods. And look here, why you cause me to say, oh, Puerto Rico, have mercy on us and understand that maybe our officers have difficulty interpreting both the laws and their obligations vis-a-vis the laws. Don't be that harsh on them. It's an interesting point. Here's another text. Divers were sent to assess the environmental damage. That's good to know. I'm glad to know that. Good. I mean, see, that's what I expect. But I also expect to hear that in an article. I expect that the officials that have been that are being interviewed understand the importance of sharing the most relevant and succinct information. Here's another text. Aaron, I was nearly run off the road by a limo speeding past a tractor. The driver was reckless, so I called the police, and when I explained the situation, they asked me what the crime was. This is about the fourth time I've called about issues like loud music or fighting, and the police still respond with, what's the crime? As if I need to be a lawyer and a prosecutor and prove my case. It's frustrating. Dear texter, I almost got an officer threatened to arrest me because when I went to the station to make a statement because I am the victim, I refused to sign the statement as the officer wrote it because the officer did not clearly articulate what it is I said to him. And since his job is simply to transcribe, right? That's all they do is they write exactly what you say. And I refused to sign it. And the officer ran hot and threatened to arrest me. And all I could say to him was, if I sign this, I'm swearing to that's what happened, right? And I said, but you didn't write down what I said. So yeah, I appreciate that. Also, day before yesterday, I drove down Cumberland Street, turned onto Bay, and then up George Street. Every once in a while, you see officers standing there making sure the tourists are safe. And I slowed down because I had to. I couldn't turn up George Street. Pedestrians are in the road. And I said to those officers, you know, the traffic offenses are taking place at East Street and Bay Street light. They run in the light right there. Y'all could be there. And they, you know, blank face, because that's what soldiers do. And I got to East Street and Bay Street, and the people were there running the light. It turns out the people were the police, though. And so, Tex, I don't know what to say. Producer, let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Aaron Green. How you doing?
I am good, thank you. How are you?
I'm fine. You don't come at exactly 10 o'clock in the morning.
No, the shows don't start on the hour. The shows start approximately between 10:07, and that's when they're supposed to start. But sometimes the conversation on the show before is so valuable that I don't mind giving Morning Blend a little extra time.
I don't like. I tell them, don't cut into me, Aaron Green, at 10 o'clock.
Okay, now
go back. Don't do that.
Now that you said it, I could say it. See, I can tell Mr.
Yeah,
Strong.
Yeah, I said it now. Don't hear it. Mm-hmm. If you whatever you got to say, say it. Go back on time.
Okay, I got you.
I know I'm being told. They don't believe in time.
Yeah.
I said, man, a couple of times, I got a complaint about this.
No, man.
Every time they go into your time, No, don't do that. You're now 11 o'clock. I want you all on time, man.
I got you. I got you.
For God's sake, number one, you got to make sure you come on time. I got to leave. They want to get everything at 10 o'clock.
Listen, we all have to move with the pace of our own policies and the timelines we set. I agree.
Right.
I can get better.
Right. No, ain't you. Okay. It's a lot of people that go over time.
I got you.
They stop that. But listen, as an advocate for the disabled, I know the Golden Hour election is next week.
Mm-hmm.
They're advertising not including folks with disability could vote early.
Hold on, you mean that people who are disabled, right, are not included in the advance poll?
But they advertise that they're not including folks with disability. I hear the commercial.
Okay.
With Bodine.
I got you.
She did one on the national station, ZLNS.
Mm-hmm.
And I say, how how they could say could work with disabilities that include an early poll.
Well, okay, just because they didn't say it, it may have been an omission, right? They may be included, they may have omitted it from the public broadcast of the list. So
but you know, back then, normally generally they used to say it.
I got you. So, but here's the thing. I think for people with disabilities to be included in the advance poll,
yes, ma'am,
that state of disability must be registered with the state agency, right? So
right.
There should be a way, just like if you are disabled and you want to park in a disabled parking spot, you have to have a placard.
Right, but you know polls, certain polls are set aside for folks with disabilities.
Polling,
you know, right?
No, polling stations?
Polling stations, yes, ma'am. It's some accessible.
Oh, so you're saying that there are some polls are listen, you know what? Hold on, pause. All polls are supposed to be accessible.
Right,
accessible,
but that's what I'm saying now. That they are all constituency division.
Mm-hmm.
One or two of them will be set aside for folks with disability.
I feel you, but what I'm saying is that it shouldn't be that one or two are set aside at every division. It is that every...
I think you said all.
All should be
right.
Accessible, whether you have a physical mobility, a mobility issue, whether it's you're visually impaired or you are, we call deaf or hard of hearing. Like, there should be accommodations for everybody at every polling
right,
station.
Right, definitely. But you know, some of those poll divisions have steps.
Right.
Some have steps.
And for the next election, for the 2026 general election, we should expect that every polling division is accessible and has a protocol available for people who are blind.
Of course, they definitely did. They don't have now, what for the blind? Do you mention the blind and probably need it? Well, let's talk about it because the election next week anyway.
Mm-hmm.
They should have even a what you call a helper.
Yeah.
Set aside specifically because I'm blind. Come by themselves. They could guide them.
Way,
they could trust.
Yeah.
Guide them to the box.
Well, it should be an officer assigned by the Parliamentary Registration Department who is trained, right, both in the electoral procedure and in best practices for guiding people with disabilities, right? And that should be expected, man. It's 2025.
Right. Yeah, that's why I put it out there now. For now, the by-election is a test to the general election.
Mm-hmm.
And the by-election is a test to who really will win the general election next year.
You think so?
Yeah. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Hold on, pause.
Let's go right there. I accept that. Let me accept that. That the by-election is going to be a test or an indicator for the general election, right? Let me ask you a specific, pointed question.
Uh-huh.
Given that... we believe that the by-election is a precursor or an indicator or even an omen for the general election that's upcoming, right?
Right.
How do you feel about a PLP, an incumbent party candidate, right? So the candidate for the party that holds the government coming into a by-election, right? Claiming or suggesting or allowing the audience to infer, that means that you can only conclude from what they're saying that they, the candidate, are responsible for the work taking place in the constituency and not the government responsible for it. How do you feel about that if we believe that the by-election is the precursor or indicator for the general election?
Let's park on what you just said. Park it right there.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, you talk about the traffic.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's clear the traffic
okay.
And park right there. I being on the ground, what's up, and Facebook and what have you.
Mm-hmm.
Some are saying all these roads are suddenly the government paving the roads.
Mm-hmm.
The government doing this. why they didn't start this long time. That alone could pump the young people, could say, look, yeah, we ain't stupid, you know.
Ma'am.
Then the other side of that is saying that Mr. Brown, he's being faithful, he's being activated in the community. Then the other some are saying, why didn't run somebody for the PLP? I said the PLP or COI. I think COI in that community too, right? Mm-hmm. He lived there too, right?
Yeah.
I believe he lived there. It's got to be corrected.
I think so.
But the PLP don't live there. Mr. Pescari is a great man.
Let me crack a joke. He lived two places and ain't none of them is there.
Right. Well, he's not a resident.
Yeah.
He's not a resident there. So that would probably have the advantage.
Okay.
I think Warren Miller lived somewhere. The late Warren Miller used to live somewhere in that area, right?
I think so.
He was a resident.
Okay.
And people are gravitating that we need people, a resident, who live in the area.
I got you. That's a big concern.
That's a scientific concern. So this, where the PLP have to wake and say, you have to convince the people, though I don't live in the resident, I still provide for you. But the other thing is, why are you providing it during the election time?
Yeah, and for me, why are you claiming that you are providing it if you are not the MP for the constituency? You just a candidate at this point.
Right, you came from the Senate.
Right, and that's what I'm saying. But so you're just a candidate. You don't make any decisions. You don't sign any papers.
No. And you don't smell the area. You don't live in the area.
How could you convince me that you're responsible for this? But listen, Pumpkin, I want to thank you, but I got a couple more calls.
That is a scientific study.
Yeah.
And let me just say, on the notebook, those who might be listening to the aggregated thing, what Pumpkin is saying, Matthew Swetchay, I still support the majority rule. I still support my prime minister.
Yeah, man.
And that's being honest and a scientist. That's a Pumpkin, a scientific study on why, who will lose, and who will win.
Right. Thank you. An on-the-ground assessment. Thank you very much.
Have a good day.
All right. Listen, I got a call. Listen, there's a call on the line. Caller, please hold the line. You hear the producer playing the music. And after Pumpkin, you just remind us we have to stay on time. And I remind the government they have to stay on time. We got to go to this break. You guys stay tuned. You're on the clock with, what the my name is? I need the name of a good woman wrecker. A good woman wrecker. I could think of one when I come back from the break. Stay tuned to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM.
Don't wait for a storm to arrive. Stock up on hurricane supplies, make home repairs, purchase a generator, and more this hurricane season with a Fidelity personal loan. Make that move today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
You try to rest, roll with the best. For all your printing needs, there ain't no one better, no. For posters and banners, magazines and flyers. For window decals, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it. Just give us a call. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
At Cleveland Clinic, you set your course, not cancer. So when your journey takes an unexpected turn, you seek out the experts who've conquered it before, and you forge new paths to help fight cancers. For every route to a cure, for every care in the world, see how we're innovating cancer care at Cleveland Clinic today.
Problem.
Good morning and welcome back to On the Clock with. Now, somebody sent me a text and say, Allison is a nice name, Aaron, for you. I like that on you. I don't like it. I rebuke. I mean, I like the name very much. I rebuke that text today. Caller, I see you on the line. Hold the line for me 3 seconds. International Men's Day Committee presents International Men's Day March this Sunday, the 16th of November, under the theme Celebrating Men and Boys, 3 p.m. starting at Windsor Park. Decorate your vehicles with your celebrated men's names, the name of your group logo, your group banner, and you can contact 803-4423. That's 803-4423 for more information. You'll go find Andrew. Get him out that bar, because either Andrew is the wrecker or his wife is there. Something getting wrecked if Andrew didn't get home. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Aaron. How are you this morning?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Doing quite well, thank you. Pumpkin Eater happened to prompt me to call.
Mm-hmm.
The conversation pertaining to, all eyes seem to be on this by-election in Golden Isles.
Yes.
And the importance of the representative for that area actually coming from that area.
Especially since... those constituents have been left to the mercy of political whims outside of their constituency. Go on.
Exactly, because in many cases, you have persons representing these people in the grassroots areas, but they cannot feel the plight of what the people are actually feeling there. So when they give their complaints, because they are not living these people's reality, they do not see the urgency in the sense that the residents of those areas would need matters to be visited, addressed, and rectified.
Mm-hmm.
In so many cases, that's where the disconnect comes in. I am one of those likewise strong who believes that local government is very important, especially if it's done in districts.
Yeah.
Right now as it stands, we have situations whereas roadworks should not even be a part of any political rhetoric. It's supposed to be something that is automatic because our taxes are paying for it.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes down to persons representing these areas, they know the nuances of what the areas actually need. We need to decentralize the Ministry of Finance, taking it out of the hands of the Prime Minister's permit. Or remit and putting it into an area where there is no direct involvement in terms of, unless it's a board to govern the financial affairs of the country. If you come to me with something and say that you need this, and yet we deem that what you're asking for, the amounts that you're asking for, does not add up, we have the right to reject what you're asking for. And find other ways or solutions to bring about what it is that needs to happen, and so on and so forth. We have been running this country in a manner as if we are still in 1963, 67, thereof. You know, it's like we have not really advanced this country to any huge extent in the 21st century where we need to be. And as I've been saying, and I'm not going to run on much longer, but you know, I am of the view that with central government, you know, we are not central government, with local government in all of these islands. These islands would have been fixed a long time ago, but we give the power all to a central body who is detached away from the realities that a lot of these people are going through.
Yeah.
We as a people going to demand and fix this problem.
I
blame the politicians. I blame we, the blaming people, because we are too laid back with the nonsense.
Okay, thank you very much for your contribution, JJ. I got another call on the line. When we finish with that caller, I can row you for not rowing the politicians, because 73-1A of the Constitution is where we start. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Aaron. And just to piggyback a bit of what Jeff said, see, if I were running in an election, the government will use the public push to finance the election. I can take claim to that because that's taxpayers' money. I'm complaining. I'll take credit for it.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you're in opposition or not, shouldn't you be able to take credit for that?
If it's our money?
If it's our money.
Yeah.
There's nothing to cry about. I mean, I did the way they be framing their argument in respect to money is spent. Both parties done it. I've seen it happen over and over and over again, depending on who's in government.
Mm-hmm.
I got to hold a press conference in celebration of my achievement and what I would have gotten done. Whether I'm in opposition or government, but that's because it's taxpayers' money. One class can't claim it, and the other doesn't. It makes no sense to me. Let's see, Aaron, if we could continue on. His leader of the official opposition was on the other day, and Dwight Strawn, Mr. Strawn, asked him about the possibility of political live debate, but he agreed to it.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think we could make that happen?
We could make it happen, but the question is, are we willing to be uncomfortable? See, because you just... This is a place where, I tell you, shame is a powerful tool, but it has to be wielded carefully, right? It has to be wielded carefully. Shame is a powerful tool. It's a part of how we, our personal and collective development, right? It has to be wielded carefully. You have to shame them at this point. What you mean, you want to be the leader of a country. Hold on. And you want to be a leader of a party in a country where the leader of the party automatically becomes prime minister and the citizens don't choose leader of the party. Right? Bang.
Right.
You want to be the leader of a country where the leader of the party that wins the government is automatically prime minister and citizens don't choose leaders of parties. And then you're telling me you don't have the temerity to get up on a stage and defend your party's policies? The only applicable thing here is shame. But are we prepared to be uncomfortable in those spaces when shame is operating? Right?
Yeah, but we become uncomfortable, Aaron, when we look at them after we were voted for them in the House of Assembly, and they're crying out that they don't know numbers, they can't form a proper sentence, they're pronouncing words incorrectly,
mm-hmm.
using them out of context.
Mm-hmm.
We'd be shamed. You don't think we'd be shamed? I'd be shamed.
Right, but...
I'd be trying to figure out how the hell did they get here.
Can the collective say to itself, you know what? It is worth... This is worth the discomfort in the space where we call our politicians to account. It's worth it because it is not as bad as the shame we feel after we vote time and time again for people that play us the same way time and time again. But you got to acknowledge that out loud, right? Yeah,
right.
You have to acknowledge it out loud. So I look in at this article, Cooper Slam, St. Anne's MP, right? And in this article, and then there's a statement here by the Prime Minister that was on the news, quote, stop using the public as an audience for your political theatrics. And it's something that Cooper says in here that suggests, like, you know, white... And the FNM, they don't have any decency. Here it is, quote, I think there's something called maturity in politics. There's something called decency in politics that we must observe, close quotes. Yes, Mr. Cooper. Why you don't turn to the PLP and tell them that? Right? Like, what you need? What are you getting up to say that? See, to be celebrated, to come back into the fold, right? To be accepted, you have to atone for your wrongs. You have to name them and acknowledge them before you could come back to us and tell us you're decent people. So for anybody from the PLP to fix their mouth, now I'm not excusing Mr. White standing on political posters, even though it's the accepted electoral and political culture, I still denounce it. I'm not accepting that, but I'm also not accepting PLP suggesting that they're any better than the FNM in this instance.
I'm okay.
That's
it.
No, man. Thank you. Thank you. I don't think you were necessarily, you know, going there. But how is it that you could get up and stand in our face and say these things, given your past record, given your current record, and you don't ever acknowledge that you've done things wrong and you're still doing things wrong? Here's a text. Good day. I agree with your environmental impact assessment statement, but as for the rest, you know that barge looting is just our epigenetic legacy. We were the wrecking capital of the world at one point in time. I want you to know that I think we're still the wrecking capital of the world. And I think what happened with FTX is a clear example of modern-day wrecking. Thank you for that text. Here's a text. Somebody got a good name for me. They say, Aaron and Bonnie Green. Yeah. You may know who I am. You don't know how close that name is to me. If you know, you know. Aaron, a good woman wreckers. Take your pick, Anne Bonnie and Mary Read. These women weren't no Calico Jack or Black Bear, though. They were legends. I mean, those ladies, right? Because to be a woman on the pirate ship, you had to hide and pretend to be a man, and only a couple of people know, so you couldn't hold that public space the same way. I appreciate what you're saying. Hannah Pendavis, she is a wrecker. Here's a text. They only respond to bank robberies. I think this is in reference to the text earlier about calling the police and being asked what's the crime. That happened to me too, Dexter. They only respond to bank robberies and weapon-based crimes where they could steal. Oh, no. I mean, the first half is true. I can't read the second half one. Texas says, I am just as unfair as those that I accuse of doing the same. Okay, that was a great text. I got a few seconds left in the show. One day we're going to walk through this highway code and general advice for all road users. But right now, in the last few moments of the show, I want to read from this article, Restraint Will Be Tested, Nassau Tribune, 13th of November, 2025. Correctional officers' restraint and professionalism will be tested as they are now tasked with guarding the man accused of killing one of their colleagues, Commissioner of Corrections Dawn Clare admitted yesterday. Quote, it is our job, close quote, he said at an emotional comfort and healing session for slain Ashantino Johnson's co-workers. The room filled with sobs as colleagues mourned the 23-year-old officer who had only months earlier graduated from the department's training program. I want to stick a pin here. I want to say rest in peace to Mr. Johnson. Condolences to his family, his loved ones, his colleagues. Condolences. Now, I would like to rout a reporter. I want to rout a reporter. Reporter, I don't know your name, so don't watch nothing. Why you put these two elements of the story together, right? There should be a space for commemoration of his life, and there should be a space for recognition, right, of the need for psychosocial services for officers in the wake of this tragedy. That is, without a doubt, that's accepted. You see, but this statement from the first sentence in the article requires that you do a separate article so you could treat each aspect wholly, properly, and separately. Because we cannot walk past the first sentence. Correctional officers' restraint and professionalism will be tested as they are now tasked with guarding the man accused of killing one of their colleagues, Commissioner of Corrections Dawn Clare admitted yesterday. Don't ever admit that again, sir. That's not something that you say out loud. We as the public now have an obligation, a duty to a vulnerable subset of people in the country called prisoners. Right? We have a duty to them to ensure that the Ministry of Security facilitates the proper operation of the prison. That's like police officers saying, yeah, I was scared for my life, so I had to shoot him. As opposed to, I made a reasonable determination in the time given that the threat was sufficient to warrant force and specific force of a lethal weapon. That's what we expect officers to say. And in the same way, we cannot accept this. If you have a concern that an officer cannot exercise the restraint and professionalism necessary for this awesome task of caretaker for prisoners, that person should not be a corrections officer. That's the standard, man. And that is why I ain't rowing no prison officers. I wish the reporter had treated these aspects of the story separately. so that the reader would not feel guilty employing a critical mind while reading this article. Because I felt guilty. But that critique is necessary. Okay, we are all out of time. I got a text that said, call yourself Lanisha Roll. Okay, listen. That was slightly funny. However, we ain't making fun of people. Y'all go out and get a copy of Lanisha Roll's book on the Bill of Rights in the Constitution. I haven't grabbed my copy yet. I've heard conversation about it. And I think it's a good publication to purchase. Y'all don't be making fun of people. Let me make fun of people, including myself. You're on the clock with Ann Bonnie Green. Stay tuned, Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Newry is up next. Now, I tell my producer to play Sponge of Money Never Done because I sure there's a voice say Wreck of Money Never Done. Wrecking money never done. Me say wrecking money.
Sponge of money's a lot of fun. You got sponge of money. Sing, girl, sing. Sing, girl, sing. Sing, girl, sing. Girl, you got strawweight money.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Streaming on GuardianTalkRadio.com and the Guardian Radio app. Nassau, Bahamas.